Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Welcome to Advanced Class, and today we're going to talk about people, a certain kind of people, and you have to stay tuned to find out what kind. Well, aren't you interested, Linda, to find out what kind of people we're going to talk about?
I am, yes.
And of course, you know, because you're always well prepared. But I hope everyone in the audience has a magazine so they've read the article. And, Bill, this is kind of a different article. It's a different slant on people, isn't it?
It really is, Doris. I'm glad we're doing this because we often talk about the famous people in the world, celebrities, athletes, movie stars, singers. And we often overlook people that have other struggles, and we really need to pay attention to them, too.
And talk about, you know, reading the magazine. It's good if you can read the lesson first. But if for people who are having trouble with advance being a little bit difficult, I would suggest that you read the translation first. Then don't look at the Chinese anymore. Just know what the subject is. I know when I'm reading Chinese things, like a Chinese newspaper, if I know the subject first, it helps me understand better. But you don't go back and forth. Don't you think that's good advice?
Well, from Studio Classroom, that's what I always tell our readers to do, is read the translation if you need to, and then don't keep flipping back and forth.
Right. Just think about it now in English. So I hope you've read it first. If you haven't, there's just a few kind of words you're going to learn that are new, not too many. I think we're going to talk about disability. That's one word we'll be talking about.
Right. It says acknowledge the person first, not the disability. And there are a lot of forms of this word that we could use. To be disabled means that you are not fully functioning. So disability means that you have something about you that does not work as we expect normally.
Well, I found that there's more and more things in the world that make it easier for people with disabilities, whereas maybe 30 or 40 years ago, they didn't have them. They try to fix the sidewalks so they can get up there easily if they have a wheelchair. And sometimes they have little elevators outside of buildings and some things that are specially for disabled people. Have you noticed that, Bill?
Yeah, there's much more awareness. And you mentioned some of the things structurally to make it easier for people that have, for instance, wheelchairs. I'm thinking like even buses. You know, we've got buses now that actually lower down on one side to make it easier for people with wheelchairs to get on buses.
In parking lots, you know, they have a place that's closer to the entrance to whatever the place is that is for disabled people.
Right. I've been on buses where they've actually stopped and lowered the step for people to get on.
And I think that's wonderful that they are making it easier for those people to get out. Otherwise, they couldn't go out because it was just too difficult.
Right. And the strip down a lot of sidewalks or walkway areas for blind people to help guide them. Mm-hmm. So I think there have been a lot of changes.
But when we think of the people who are disabled, and that's what we're going to talk about today, we think about when we see them, sometimes we feel like, when we say, hunkulian, you know, we feel kind of sorry for them. But on the other hand, they don't always want you to just look at them that way. They want you to look at them as regular people, don't they?
Well, don't we all? I mean, we want people to go past the appearance to what really makes the person.
Right.
I would take it even farther, Doris, as far as, you know, one, some people feel sorry for them, but I also have noticed that a lot of people actually avoid people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And whether if they are in a wheelchair or if they are blind, most people walking around out on the sidewalk do their best to just get around them because they don't know how to deal with them. And so, like so many things in life, if it's a problem or an issue, instead of dealing with it, most people will try and avoid them as much as they can.
Right. So I think this is a great timely article for us to be talking about. So maybe we can talk about some of our own problems or feelings that we might have. And I'm sure our listening audience also has feelings, you know, and maybe we need to get over some of those.
Well, I like the title. It's very short, but very descriptive. Mm-hmm. See me. In other words, see who I really am, not the way I look. Maybe I'm too fat or too small or too short or disabled, but see the real me, my spirit, know who I am. And that's what we're going to talk about.
That's right. And that, actually, that title reminds me of probably a very, very famous disabled person, Stephen Hawking, you know, the physics professor from England who has made helped people understand the universe. And brilliant, brilliant mind. But right. his cerebral palsy, or I think that's what he has kept him really from, you know, being what we term normal.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have to acknowledge the person first, not the disability.
Right.
Don't look at the physical part that's not able to function, but look at that person and what they can do and who they are and what they are like. Isn't that important?
Yeah, and find out more about the person because, you know, it's interesting. When you actually do strike up a conversation with some of the people that you see that do have disabilities, it's you talk to them and you're like, wow. They're a real person. They're just like everybody else out here. They just happen to have this thing that's noticeable.
Right.
That we judge them by.
Sometimes they're very well read. They have no time to read because they're not running around and so forth. So you can have some very good, intelligent discussions with them.
And they often don't have that opportunity because people won't take the time to talk to them.
People are people.
Right. So let's find out about this, and there'll be some examples here. We'll find out about things that are being done for them on page 26. So let's just take the very first section here, the first paragraph.
See me. Acknowledge the person first, not the disability. Since a motorcycle accident left him paralyzed from the neck down, Ben Trockman has stopped paying attention to stares from strangers. Though he's learned to use humor to handle awkward encounters, he wishes people would put their nervous attention to better use. They could say hello, or strike up a conversation. I would so much rather someone say, "What happened to you?" than stare from a distance, Trockman said.
So this is talking about a motorcycle accident. Just the word motorcycle accident makes me shudder because I see so many people that have motorcycle accidents that I almost say, be really careful. Because so many people are paralyzed and disabled because of motorcycle accidents because you're not very well protected, even with a helmet. If a big car or bus hits you, all your arms and your legs are going to really be damaged.
That's right. And even though somebody just told me this morning, when I started to drive, my father told me, drive like everybody's trying to kill you. So
don't drive like you're trying to kill them. That's one thing we have to look out for.
But, you know, sometimes no matter how defensively you drive, there's nothing you can do. And accidents do happen.
Right. And especially people on motorcycles, they're not that well protected.
Right.
If something hits them.
Well, they're extremely vulnerable. And I think this is, you know, very relevant, of course, here in Taipei and many other Asian cities where we have so many people riding motorcycles.
Right.
I'll tell you what, I'm amazed, Doris, at how reckless so many people are without really understanding how vulnerable they are. And something like this can happen in a matter of seconds. And I don't think people really realize that.
And this accident left him paralyzed from the neck down. Mm. So that's just about his whole body. I mean, from your neck down.
Right.
That means your whole
backbone. That means total care.
Mm-hmm. That's terrible, isn't it? What about him? Tell us more about him, Linda.
Well, it says that he's paralyzed from the neck down, and he actually, this man's name is Ben Trockman, and he has stopped paying attention to stares from strangers. So obviously when he goes out, people stare at him. He has an American name, so we know that he must live in the States. And he just ignores them. Or he said he's learned to use humor to handle awkward encounters. Mm-hmm. I think that's the thing, you know, about it, is that people feel awkward and they don't know what to do or they don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's always sad that the person that's affected is the one that has to put everybody at ease.
Right. Mm. Well, and he just, you know, wishes that they would just put their nervous attention to better use. People get nervous. And as you said, they don't always talk to them. Even they just walk by.
Yeah, and that's a good way of putting it, nervous attention, because the people really – look, most of us have never been trained in communications, period. And then to deal with an extra factor, okay, here is a person that is different from me. We don't deal with that stuff very well. So – people don't know how to communicate with someone. just think of the physical aspect of one person standing, another person's in a wheelchair, just the angle people right. just aren't used to. Okay, how do I talk to this person? What's the best way?
So just bend over Bill and say, hello, how are you today? So that's what he says here.
That's right. And he said, you know, he would rather them, instead of just staring, at least strike up. And this is a great word. It means to start something. Mm-hmm. So start a conversation with him. He would rather them ask, you know, what happened than just stare.
Well, I guess people don't know what to say. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. you say, well, how are you today? Or have a good day. Well, they're in a wheelchair, and you don't know whether you should say that or not. You know, well, do I look like I'm having a good day? So people don't know what to say to them.
That
but
is
just
true.
Just treat them normally and just, you know.
He's being, you know, it's funny. Is he's being all a little sarcastic here by saying, I'd rather have people say, what happened to you, than stare from a distance. Because normally we wouldn't think of asking somebody with a disability like that. We wouldn't think, well, it's okay to ask the person what happened.
Well, you probably shouldn't, Bill. I don't recommend that, he would rather
even prefer that they did that instead of just staring at them.
Okay, so that's the beginning, and we're going to find out more about people like that because there's so many people with physical disabilities. So let's find out what the next part tells us about the need for change.
The need for change. Though people with disabilities have become increasingly integrated into mainstream society, they continue to be stared at by those who don't know how to behave around people who may look, walk, talk, think, see, hear, or get around differently from the norm. At the heart of the problem is that people don't acknowledge the person first. They acknowledge the disability, Michael Carmody said. He co-founded the nonprofit Opportunity Knocks in Illinois to provide after-school programs for young adults with developmental disabilities, from flag football to leadership projects, to chip away at the misconceptions that separate people with disabilities from a mainstream that assumes them incapable of doing things.
It is true that we said at the very beginning that people with disabilities have become more and more part of the mainstream society. You see them working in offices, coming to work, and we have some at Studio Classroom. And they come in special little motorcycles that they ride themselves. And they're more and more them in the mainstream society than there used to be.
Yeah, that's what we say here. Integrated into mainstream society. Integrated means that you're all now part of something, involved in it, and in mainstream society, just meaning the everyday life that most people are going through, going to work, commuting back and forth, things like that.
We often hear this about schools. You know, when kids have like a learning disability or something, but they try to mainstream them or put them into a regular classroom instead of keeping them separate.
Right.
So mainstream society just means, you know, everyday society.
So the problem is not so much their problem as for us because we don't always know how to behave.
Right.
And, you know, for people who are differently to speak or get around differently than the norm, which means the normal way of doing mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. The norm is just the standard way of doing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, but at the heart of the problem, now that's a very good phrase. I like that phrase, at the heart of the problem.
Yeah, me too. At the heart of something just means first of all, it's an idiom, and it means to be the most important part, okay? So the most important part of the problem is that people don't acknowledge the person first. They
right.
acknowledge the disability first.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they identify the person by their disability, and that becomes the most important thing. You know, unfortunately, there's this human nature thing. Our eyes are like laser beams, and we automatically notice the fault or the flaw in people.
Mm-hmm.
They can be perfectly fine, but if there's something, tiny thing wrong, it's like our eyes immediately go right to that, and we identify that.
Well, I think that's because we, you know, go on first impressions. You know, we talk about that just for, you know, people we call normal. And so if we're judging people by that, then it's even more so for a person with disability.
So this Michael Carmody saw this problem, and he founded something, a nonprofit organization called Opportunity Knocks. And tell us a little bit more. You looked that up, didn't you, Linda?
Yeah, I did. And first, nonprofit, I think, obviously not for profit. Okay. He actually was a special education school teacher in Oak River Park High School in Chicago. And in that state, the state of Illinois, they have state support for children with disabilities until the age of 22. But after that, there's really nothing available for them. So he established this nonprofit, Opportunity Knocks, gives after-school programs for young adults with developmental disabilities. And he goes, I think, all the way to 31, okay, to the age of 31. Hmm. From 12 to 31, kids can go to this program.
That's
and,
good. That's
yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And actually, when I went to their website, it was very cool. They're having a car wash. They have something called the Warriors, and they have like a group that were doing a car wash. But they also have, you know, they have special interest groups at the club or at the Opportunity Knocks program, like, you know, book clubs. They have sewing clubs. They have participants that go out and do community welfare work. They're going to be going to a dog shelter to help care for animals. So it's very cool what this man is doing. He has seen what he sees people as they really are, you know, their abilities, mm-hmm. and takes them out into the community to be able to serve.
So there are a lot of things that people can do, but there are what we call misconceptions, and that means the wrong ideas. It is not the right idea. And so he wants to chip away at those. He wants to get rid of them and say, don't think this way anymore. That these are misconceptions that separate people with disabilities from the regular people who we call the mainstream people, okay? Now, what are these misconceptions? What was the biggest one that we have?
Well, the biggest one is that the mainstream, the people in the mainstream, they assume that these people are incapable of doing things. So we think that they are incapable of washing cars, like Linda said.
Well, they might be physically incapable of doing something. That's true.
Well, some things they might be incapable of doing, like most of us do, but with certain accommodations, they can do them. Again, go back to washing cars. Maybe they can wash cars. We just need to make certain arrangements just to get things in place for them, like buckets of water and the sponges and the things. Yeah, it might take them a little bit longer, but they might be able to knock this thing out in a decent amount of time.
Well, actually, we go to the car wash run by Sunshine, you know, and everybody that works there is disabled in some way. And it's a business to help disabled people.
Right. And so they can do some things. And then everything isn't done with your body. There's a lot of things with your mind. For instance, a person can answer the telephone in a company and do a lot of different things. They don't have to do the physical things always.
And what I just mentioned that Opportunity Knocks is doing is just a few of the activities that they have. I also think that people live up to or live down to other people's expectations. Mm-hmm. So if I don't think that you can do anything, then why do it? You know, why try? You kind of lose hope.
But that's a misconception.
Right.
They can do something. So we have to realize that. And he wants people to realize that. So his foundation is called Opportunity Knocks. Give those people a chance. When Opportunity Knocks, that means you can do something. There's a job for you. And his thing is to help them find a place in society, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually a saying we have, Opportunity Knocks. So you have to take advantage of when Opportunity Knocks on your front door. You better go take that opportunity and take advantage of it right then, because you don't know when it will come again.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to read another little short section today about well-intentioned things that are wrong. We call those missteps, things that shouldn't be done. Let's read that paragraph.
Well-intentioned missteps. During a family portrait session, Jessica Herrera, a speech pathologist, was pleased to see the photographer establish a friendly rapport with her younger brother, Robbie, who has cerebral palsy, then was jarred when he turned to ask her, "How long has he been like this?" "I just saw the joy empty from Robbie's body," Herrera said.
Now, well-intentioned is also very good phrase or something to know. It means you really wanted to do the right thing, well-intentioned. But do people who are well-intentioned always do the right thing, Linda?
No, they don't. Even though we think we might be, you know, I think sometimes we still have some question in ourself. Mm-hmm. So we try to do something to be that we think is good, but it's totally the misstep here, right? So the misstep here is actually it turns out to be pretty bad.
So whether it's disabled people or whatever it is, don't try to do things that you don't know anything about, because there's an awful lot of people in the world that have well intentions about, oh, don't take that job, it wouldn't be good for you. And they're giving you all these ideas, and that's really not the right thing to do. So sometimes you have to be very careful in how you treat people and how you act.
I think this article is good for across the board,
it
everybody,
is.
You know,
right.
Not just
not for, just disabled.
No. Right.
That's true. Because everybody makes mistakes. But during a family portrait session, when they were trying to take a picture of this family, just tell us about Jessica Hara, what she said.
Bill. All right. Jessica is a speech pathologist, and so she actually studies human speech and helps people improve their speech. And so she deals with people with that disabilities in that area. Well, she was happy to see the photographer at this family portrait session establish a friendly rapport with her younger brother. And rapport is just when we get along with people, we can have maybe a special bonding with them. We can establish a relationship with them. That's getting having a rapport with people.
So he started out very well, saying, well, how are you, and talking to them. But then there was a misstep that happened.
Right. So her brother, Robbie, has cerebral palsy. Now, this cerebral palsy is a physical condition. It's one of our specialized terms that involves tightening so that people can't move their muscles. Then Jessica was jarred when he turned to her and said, how long has he been like this? So jarred here means she was probably shocked and like very, very uncomfortable because
she thought I was being so nice to him. And then she just turns around. It's just like you didn't think he could understand.
Right.
He's sitting right there. He knows what you said. That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah. So her brother could hear this and she was startled and the thing is, I would say that the photographer didn't do this intentionally.
Of course not.
He wasn't trying
to
hurt.
Right.
So he was just—it just was kind of stupid,
right,
what he said.
Well,
yeah.
Oftentimes we do that, though. You know, we look at somebody else
and say, "Well, how long has your father been mentally disturbed?" And he's sitting right there. You know, makes
right.
him more mentally disturbed, right? Well, you know, Zarina London, who has been a nightclub singer for many years, and she's now working in studio classroom and going to school rallies, she loves to go out and sing for all kinds of people. And recently she had this opportunity to go and sing at a very special place, and Bill's going to have a little interview with her. So let's have that interview now with Zarina.
Okay, I am here with Zarina London. And Zarina, you went up to this home, the Bali I Sin Home for People with Disabilities up in Bali. And I know you really, you open your heart up to folks that have some challenges and things like that to deal with that most people don't deal with.
Yes, I just see them as whole and beautiful and just needing love, needing to be accepted and looked at as normal. You know, I mean, they're different, but they're still a human being. They have feelings. They get hurt. They get depressed. They're happy. And while I was there, I was able to give, I could tell, some of their first kiss. You know, I mean, I could hold them and kiss them on the forehead. And the look in the eyes, just the love that was received in the eyes. And I danced with them, you know, just treated them like I would any other child that I come in contact with.
You know, you mentioned something interesting. You're talking about kissing them. I know you kiss them on the forehead or on the cheek or something like that. And in our article, we talk about people in wheelchairs. They like it if somebody actually touches them on the hand. That's one thing that people with disabilities don't normally get because they can't initiate that contact.
Right.
So they
right.
really appreciate when people actually do touch them or contact them
right.
because it's so rare for them.
Yeah. I say, in my family, That's what we do. If I brought you home, my mother would say, come here, baby, give me a kiss. And then my auntie would say, come over here and kiss me too. Yeah. So, and my, that's how we do it. So here I treat them like my family and hug them and kiss them. And the shock in their eyes, but the shock and then the delight in their eyes. You know, they can't move their arms or anything. Something like my little friend Yaya, he could only move his eyes, but I saw so much in his eyes. And I just fell in love with him. And then mm-hmm. I took his wheelchair and danced with him in a wheelchair. And his eyes just, you could tell he had never done that. And hugging and kissing. I kiss many of them, just like I do at the schools here.
Yeah. We actually have Yaya pictured. How old is he?
He looks like maybe 19, maybe 20.
Okay. Yeah. Well, what we lose track of it is that people deal with these disabilities for so long, for years and years. What would you recommend for people to help them be more engaging and comfortable with people that they encounter with disabilities?
You know, the way I saw it, think of someone being buried alive. If you see, I mean, they're alive and they have feelings and everything, but they're buried. Mm. So when you see this, I see them like there's a whole person, a loving, intelligent person buried in this body that can't move or can't respond. If you think about that, you say, then you would try to contact. If you knew someone was buried alive, you try to help them.
You would do everything you can to help that person.
Yes.
Because they're, in essence, they're trapped in
exactly.
that existence.
That's it. That's what I felt. Like they were trapped in this body that wouldn't function, but they were normal inside.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Zarina, great to have you here with us today. Thank you for sharing.
Oh, it's awesome being here.
Well, there's something that all of us can do, but we still have to learn to see the people first and think about this, and we'll talk about it more when we come back tomorrow. We'll see you then.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.